From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin. Today, a newly minted genius and how to have a healthy heart in the Social Security years. We'll start with a look at economic security. Despite the recovery, a new study shows a significant number of North Texans are stuck in what's known as asset poverty. That's a measure of how well people can weather a financial crisis. It was the basis for KERA's recent series, One Crisis Away. Courtney Collins takes a look at the latest numbers from the Corporation for Enterprise Development, which shows Dallas County below the national average in every category.
If you're living in asset poverty, it means you couldn't last 90 days after a financial disruption, even if you cashed in everything you owned. In Dallas, that describes more than 36% of the population. Nationwide, that number is 25%. The highest rate of asset poverty in North Texas? Cockrell Hill. The rate is more than 45% there. In University Park and Southlake, less than 1% of residents qualify.
I think that also points to some of the segregation we see in our communities and how we are really segregated by income, by wealth. You know, there are great differences in outcomes for families living very close to each other.
Casey Weidrich is the senior research manager for CFED. The group released a new interactive tool this week. For the first time, it zooms in on poverty city by city and county by county. Weidrich thinks it's important to understand that just having a job isn't the key to financial stability.
What if something happens to their job? What if there's an emergency? What if they get laid off? They have a medical issue, perhaps a divorce, and that income goes away without household savings? They can really be in a precarious situation.
The new mapping tool also keeps track of financial tools. Nationwide, 8% of people are considered unbanked. That means no savings accounts, not even a checking account. In Dallas County, almost 13% of people are.
If someone doesn't have a bank account, they're often paying a lot more for basic financial services, like cashing their paycheck.
Other North Texas counties are in better shape than Dallas. Tarrant County is on par with the national average for asset poverty and has fewer people without bank accounts. The numbers are even stronger in Denton and Collin counties. To the people living inside those figures, it doesn't matter if no one on their block has a bank or if they're the only family in the neighborhood that's behind on bills. Asset poverty colors every financial move they make. Courtney Collins, KERA News.
You can check the asset poverty figures for your neighborhood at keranews.org. Now to a man who's devoted his career to helping people find affordable housing. John Henneberger lives in Austin. He's co-director of the Texas Low Income Housing Information Service. And thanks to the MacArthur Foundation, he's now considered a genius. Yesterday, he was one of 21 Americans given a MacArthur Fellowship, a.k.a. the Genius Grant.
I'm deeply surprised and profoundly humbled and grateful that we've got these resources to do more work and better work.
The MacArthur grants are given to anyone who shows creativity and dedication to a cause. Henneberger made his mark in the rebuilding of the Gulf Coast after Hurricanes Dolly and Ike hit in 2008. He's now focused on neighborhood inequality, housing discrimination, and environmental equity.
The problems of inequality in this country are profound, and they are hugely limiting to people to choose where to live. But they're not an excuse for the degree of segregation and related problems that we see in Dallas and Houston and San Antonio and Austin.
Henneberger says it will take some time to figure out how he'll use the $625,000 grant that comes with the MacArthur. This year, two Texans won grants, Henneberger and the Houston artist we talked to yesterday, Rick Lowe. It's a rare treat to walk through a high-profile artist's studio. That's what the PBS series Art 21 lets viewers do on screen. Executive producer Susan Solins is in town for a special preview of Season 7 tonight at Texas Theater. Her trademark move? Showcasing the words of the artists themselves. It's only fitting that today on Thanks, she used the words of Caterina Grosse, who was featured at the Nasher Sculpture Center last year, to describe the big questions her subjects try to answer in their work.
We got onto the topic of the political and social and political, and I'm going to quote something from her because I think it's pretty interesting. She said, "I've become very dubious about the idea that art might only have relevance if it touches upon the political aspect that we have as individuals on society, I find that art is very often misused. It sounds like this, the political social aspect, is the only thing that we deal with in our lives. I'd like to believe that the reason why we're here has to do with other things that are of spiritual nature. I'm trying to find out what I'm doing here and why I'm here.
Think Rear is at 10 tonight. Find the podcast at kera.org/think. The general consensus is that as you age, more exercise means a healthier heart. A group of researchers at Fort Worth John Peter Smith Hospital tried to figure out just how much exercise made the biggest difference in old age. My colleague Sam Baker talks with Dr. Paul Bella about what they found.
Dr. Paul Bella, thank you for joining me for this conversation.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
How did you come to start this study? What led you to do it?
The purpose of this study was to figure out, does somebody have to exercise truly 6 to 7 times a week to get that benefit in terms of stretchability and flexibility of their heart? That may not be practical for everyone. Maybe exercising 4 to 5 times a week or 2 to 3 times a week could give you some of the bang for the buck as exercising 6 to 7 times a week throughout one's adult life.
And what were the results of all of this?
What we found is, as we expected, people who exercise 6 to 7 times a week throughout their adult lives have these very stretchable, compliant hearts. People who exercise 4 to 5 times a week throughout their adult lives had hearts that were close to as stretchable and flexible as the 6 to 7 times a weekers, and much better than the 2 to 3 times a weekers or the non-active people who are very close to one another themselves.
What type of exercise are we talking about?
This was primarily dynamic or aerobic exercise. So walking, cycling, swimming, things like that, running, jogging, things which resulted in a sustained elevation in the heart rate.
Because that's a wide variety. Some of that is low impact, some of that high impact.
Our study didn't select only runners, only swimmers, only cyclers, only walkers. It took all comers, as long as it was aerobic activity.
So the common tie was people who got up and moved.
That's right.
So this is good news for 30-somethings, 20-somethings, maybe 40-somethings. What should 50-somethings, 60-somethings and older take from this?
You're right. For the young people, they can use this information to shape their lifestyle as they age. By exercising 4 to 5 times a week, they are going to put themselves in a situation where the likelihood of getting a condition such as atrial fibrillation, hypertension, or congestive heart failure is much lower. But for the people who are already 65 years old and are thinking to themselves, wow, I only exercise 2 to 3 times a week throughout my adult life, does that mean there's no good for me to exercise more? That's certainly not the case. There are a lot of great benefits of exercise. We were just studying this one.
Look, isn't it just plain common sense that the more you exercise, the better off you are?
Great point, Sam. You know, this is nothing that our kindergarten teachers might not have been able to teach us, right? But the history of science is filled with examples of things which seemed like they'd be common sense, when tested, proved not to be what we thought they would be. So in this instance, it was very important to see whether 4 to 5 times a week or 2 to 3 times a week could offer some or most of the benefit of 6 to 7 times a week, even though it might have seemed, you know, intuitive that it would.
Dr. Paul Bella, thank you for being with me.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
That was KERA's Sam Baker talking with Dr. Paul Bella, the director of cardiac imaging at John Peter Smith Hospital in Fort Worth. For the evening, mostly cloudy skies, a 20% chance for showers with a low around 70. Tomorrow, partly sunny, slight chance rain with a high near 90. And tomorrow night, partly cloudy, a low near 71. It's currently 85 degrees in Dallas and Fort Worth, 78 in Tyler, and 80 in Wichita Falls. You can like KERA News on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Justin Martin.